Ask that you continue with your meal. Sorry we can't wait till everyone is through. At this time, I'm going to ask the Reverend Father William Warren of St. Matthew's Episcopal Church in Fairbanks to give the invocation. And will you all remain seated, please?
All right. Yes, that's good. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we gather here as a group of saints and sinners, each of us saints and each of us sinners, to thank you for two of our number, Bill and Dorothy Jane, to thank you for giving them your grace and for their willingness to allow it to flow through them, to thank you for your forgiveness of all of us as we fall short of your will for us, to enjoy good food, for which we also thank you, especially since we've already had it, to thank you most of all for the gift of life and the fact that it's eternal in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Father Warren. It's the longest blessing I've heard Bill Warren give for some time. He's noted in Rotary for a man being a man of few words.
Don't tell us, I'm going to pray like a Methodist. Not for one, but like one.
Before we get started into the program, I'd like to introduce some people at the head table who will not be on the program. And we're going to start out with my wife, Mildred Nerland, on my right. Leona Chapados on my left. Cheryl Mitchell, who is a date of one of our speakers this evening, on my right. Nancy Warren on my left. And Kathy Parrish, who did a extremely wonderful job as a novice politician in yesterday's election. On my right. At this time, I'd also like to introduce two members of the present Board of Regents who are in attendance here this evening. First, Edith Bullock from Anchorage and Kotzebue. And Bill O'Neill of Anchorage, who is the president of the Board of Regents. Bill? I'm going to start out this evening by reading a letter that came from Nevada. And I think it's quite a wonderful letter. It's written by the marshal of the university and reads as follows. My wife and I regret very much not to be able to accept your kind invitation to attend the testimonial dinner in honor of Dr. and Mrs. William Ransom Wood. However, we wish to be among the many well-wishers and tell you why we feel so honored by the close friendship we've enjoyed for many years with Dr. and Mrs. Wood. Bill is a man of contrast, a poet, yet a practical man, of gentle manners, yet of a firm hand, of serious countenance, yet ready to smile. He likes friends, yet an aristocrat of mind. He likes sports, yet delights in learning. He pays homage to the ladies, yet there is none other than Dorothy Jane. With our warmest best wishes to this exceptional couple, Alex Dandini, Marshall of the University of Nevada.
Thank you.
I'm going to offer my apologies for not...
Have you turned it on?
Huh? I must offer my apologies for not introducing Vidy Bartlett, who is president, who is on the board and secretary of the Board of Regents at the university. Vidy? And also Hugh Fate. My goodness. Hugh. Failing to introduce the secretary and treasurer of the board is certainly a bad mistake, a poor start. I have a lot of telegrams and letters here that I'm going to read intermittently through the program tonight. This is going to lengthen the program quite a little bit, and right now it looks to me like I'm not going to be able to use many of those jokes that I bought from Chuck Lafferty for the evening. Well, fine, thank you. I didn't think they were very good either. Man, how long has it been since you told your wife you loved her? And ladies, when did you last whisper those magic words in his ear? Without asking for a show of hands, it would be safe to assume that with too many of us, those words, I love you, are too rarely spoken. If ever. Love, appreciation, admiration, friendship are all too often thought and felt within each of us, but are not transmitted in so many words to advise the recipient of our feelings. The people of Fairbanks have long been in love at the University of Alaska. Unfortunately, too often we have been remiss in expressing our feelings, and after all, if it's so hard to tell our spouses that we love them, how do you express your love to a university? I assure you there are ways to do this, and we should be doing them. But that can be the subject of another session of love and affection and appreciation. Tonight we are here to express our love for Dr. William R. Wood, President of the University of Alaska, and his gracious wife, Dorothy Jane. For those who may think the words respect, admiration, and appreciation would be a more appropriate for this occasion, I use the word love in the modern vernacular, love that man, to express respect, admiration, and affection for both Dorothy Jane and Bill Wood. We all know of Bill Wood's leadership and activity in the tremendously successful Fairbanks Community Hospital Drive, and of his participation in many other affairs of the community. In his case, versatility has been of great benefit to the city of Fairbanks, although at times versatility can be otherwise. For instance, the artist Whistler didn't realize until he found his mother on her hands and knees scrubbing the floor that she was off her rocker. Yeah, I don't know. The deal I had with Charlie Lafferty was that any jokes that didn't click, he'd give me a dollar back. In March of 1960, the Board of Regents met and interviewed about six educators who had been asked to come to college for consideration for the presidency, from which Dr. Ernest Patty was about to retire. I'm proud to have been a member of that board that selected William Ransom Wood from among that group. In addition to Elmer Rasmus and myself, other members of the board in attendance of that board in attendance this evening are Helen Atkinson of Fairbanks and Bill O'Neill of Anchorage. On July 1st, 1935, the University of Alaska, which had been the Agricultural College and School of Mines, became the University of Alaska, and it was just 25 years from that date, on July 1st, 1960, that Dr. Wood assumed the presidency. These last 11 years have been good years for the university, and we hope Bill and Dorothy Jane Wood have received some measure in return for the wonderful contribution they have made to the university and the city of Fairbanks. This evening we have selected four speakers from four of the general groups with which Bill Wood comes in contact. The first is an interesting young man who will represent the student body. He's the eldest of seven children and came to Alaska with his family when his father, a colonel in the Air Force, was assigned to Eielson Air Force Base. He graduated from Eielson High School in 1967. After his father was sent to Vietnam, he attended Santa Clara University for the 1968-9 school year. He found he wasn't happy in the lower states, so he returned to the University of Alaska in the summer of 69 and will graduate with a degree of Bachelor of Business Administration in 1972, majoring in marketing and finance. He is serving a second term as treasurer of the student government on the campus. He works in the safety and security office, and the summer was sent to Sitka for 2 weeks training for emergency medical technicians. He isn't sure just the exact field he'll enter after graduation, but it may be in security work, and definitely it'll be in Alaska. I want you to meet Jim Lantine, whose name you won't forget because, as he says, it rhymes with dentine. Jim Lantine.
Mrs. Wood, Dr. Wood, ladies and gentlemen, it's really a great honor to be here tonight on behalf of the students at the University of Alaska and to be able to say a few words about Dr. Wood, our president, and his charming wife, Dorothy Jane. You know, it's not too often these days that students are given a chance to speak about their college, its administration, or its presidency in a favorable way. All too often, students' voices are raised in controversy, dissent, and dissatisfaction over the way that things are run at their college. Tonight, however, we can pause in our busy lives and say a few kind words about a man who has truly spent his life devoted to public service as a citizen, as a nationally acclaimed educator, and as the president of our university. It might be good to explore the job of the presidency. Some of us probably wonder, just what does a university president do? Well, first let me explain to you the hierarchy of the university. We have a board of regents, three provosts, four vice presidents, and a president. So with all these people up there, what does the president do? Well, let me explain to you first what the job of the regents and the vice presidents is. The regents are basically up there to think, to plan policy, and to make sure the university is guided in the proper direction. The vice presidents are pretty concerned with relations, keeping communications channels open. So one of their big jobs is to give speeches. So, what the president usually ends up doing is making sure the vice presidents don't think and the regents don't give speeches. Now, all seriousness aside, I think the job of the presidency basically boils down to making sure the students have parking, the alumni has ball games, and the faculty has a raise every year. There have been four presidents at the University of Alaska, and each of their administrations has been marked by a notable achievement or noted in a particularly profound way. Dr. Charles Bunnell was the founder of the university. He was a frontiersman, a pioneer, and he carved the university out of a hillside. Dr. Terrace Moore, the second president of the university, began to change from the old to the new. He helped modernize and make the site look like a campus instead of a cluster of wooden buildings. And Dr. Patty continued building up the college campus, and under his administration, the university began to expand statewide. Dr. William Wood, the fourth president at the university, will be known as a brick and mortar man. For not only under his administration has the college campus continued to grow, but the university has quadrupled in size statewide, and the enrollment has increased over five times, and has truly become a statewide institution. But I'm a student, and I'm here to talk about what the students think of Dr. Wood. So what is the student's point of view? Well, as with every person in a prominent position, you'll get a lot of pros and cons. But students have a funny way of naming things after people. And to those of you who have been up on campus, you know we have a fountain in the middle of the plaza in the central core of the campus. On a nice day, when you go up to the campus, you'll see many multicolored flags around the fountain. It's really a beautiful sight. And since Dr. Wood was very instrumental in having this fountain built, the students affectionately began calling it Wood's Hole. The new campus activity center, which has been named the William Ransom Wood Center by a committee of students, is soon to be completed. And for those of you who haven't seen this building, I'm going to make an attempt to describe it to you. It's a rather odd-shaped building. It's got a... It has a copper roof that is kind of at an angle. And as soon as you walk in the building, you're confronted with a vast and empty void of a ceiling. And the first thing that really strikes you is a strange and odd-looking stairway that's right in the middle. This stairway is no ordinary stairway, I guarantee you, for it goes up one flight to the second level and then continues up and abruptly terminates nowhere, right in the middle of this large and empty void. It's already been coined Wood's Throne. I think, Dr. Wood, you can take some solace in knowing that your name is finally being changed from a hole to an attic. Back to the students. What do the students think about Dr. Wood? I think that the students that have taken the time to get to know this man walk away with respect for the position that he has and quite often for the position that he takes. And most students genuinely appreciate all the fine work that he has done for the university. I first came here in 1967, and I know that the campus has expanded greatly in the 4 years that I've been here. And I know also that this has been due in great part to the continued efforts of Dr. Wood. We have a brand new upper dorm complex, a new dining commons, a beautiful new library and fine arts facility, a new geophysical institute. Soon we'll have the new Wood Center, a new general classrooms building, and a new health, safety, and security building, which will house our new campus clinic. Dr. Wood has a great concern for students at the University of Alaska and for youth in general. You can always find Dr. Wood at the ball games, cheering on the Nanooks. And seeing our president in the bleachers cheering on our team with us means a lot to students. Almost every year that I've been here, I've found Dr. Wood participating in the annual Equinox Marathon, walking up and down the slopes of Oberhaven, participating in the annual 26-mile grueling walk right alongside the students. Every year, Dr. Wood has a welcoming dinner for all new and incoming students. And again, this means a lot to students who have never met a university president. It gives them a chance to talk with him, to meet with him, to find out what kind of a person he really is like. Dr. Wood, in his personal dealings with students, is known to be very kind and generous, not only with his time, but also with his personal finances. On many occasions, he's been known to dip into his pocket to give a student the money he may need to make a trip home, to go on a convention, or some similar need. Being in student government, I've had the opportunity to observe Dr. Wood in meetings and in personal relationships in ways that ordinary students don't usually get a chance to see. And though he's very kind and generous in his personal dealings with students, he doesn't give the student government a thing. He makes us work for it. And that's not said in a derogatory manner by any means. Dr. Wood makes us work for a program if we want it. Whether that program be a radio station, an aviation program, or placing students on the Board of Regents, Dr. Wood makes us work for that program to make sure it's what we want. And even though he may be in agreement with us, he makes sure that we're sold on the idea first. Because students, and I'll admit the fact, we're sometimes impetuous. We get in a hurry, we want to see a program implemented before we've actually thought it out completely. Well, since this man's on the hot seat of public opinion, he's going to make sure that we are first sold on the idea, and then we have to sell him. And so even though we complain and gripe about occasional delays, I think in the long run, we appreciate these hard-won programs much more when we finally get them. And so in conclusion then tonight, I'd like to end with a short poem. But first, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the members of the chamber for asking a student to come up here tonight and speak on behalf of his fellow students. I'd also personally like to thank Dr. Wood for being such a fine citizen, fine president, and a fine gentleman. Now my little poem. It's about a university president who's confronting St. Peter at the gates of heaven. A man knocked at the heavenly gates. His face was scarred and old. He stood before the man of fate for admission to the fold. "What have you done," St. Peter asked, "to gain admission here?" "I've been a college president, sir, for many and many a year." The pearly gates swung open wide as St. Peter touched the bell. "Come in and choose your harp," he said, "for you've had your share of hell." Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. I'd like to ask the rest of the speakers as they come up to the podium to bring their own glass of water. It isn't very often. That was one of my own. That isn't Charlie's. It isn't very often these days that you find a student saying kind things about a university president, and perhaps still more seldom that you find a faculty member saying nice things about a university president. I have a letter here tonight that's addressed, an open letter to President William R. Wood. When a faculty member writes an open letter to the university president these days, the latter can usually expect trouble, a grievance, an alleged injustice, a violation of academic freedom, or a merely strong criticism of what he did or failed to do. In this case, a professor wishes to express his appreciation and that of his colleagues for your keen perception, distinguished leadership, and unfailing enthusiasm that have significantly shaped the present University of Alaska, an institution of which we are all justly proud. Dr. Wood, in a period of great unrest on many college and university campuses, you have skillfully grappled with the weighty statewide problems without losing personal touch with your faculty on its many campuses. The lack of violence at our university can be attributed in large part to your sensitivity and tact in dealing with students and faculty alike. With the average tenure in office of college presidents, something under 3 years, the university has prospered under your guidance for more than 11 years. Your scholarship and your administrative ability have won national and even international recognition. Of particular significance to us, however, is the magnitude of your contribution to the university and to the community, which we gratefully acknowledge this evening. For obvious reasons, this letter will remain unsigned, but because the thoughts expressed here are shared by so many of the faculty who respect and admire you, please consider it signed by all of us. I think that's one of the nicest anonymous letters I've ever read. We also have a telegram. The Wichee commissioners and staff send their warmest greetings to President and Mrs. William Wood on the occasion of the public testimonial for their contribution to the state of Alaska, and with an added note of appreciation for the contributions they have also made over the past decade to the development of Wichee's programs in the 13 western states. Francis A. Barrett, MD, Chairman of Wichee. This telegram was sent to Mrs. Della Cruz, who's a member of that, of the Wichee. Our next speaker, John O'Shea, who will represent the alumni this evening, was born in Fairbanks, but is now a resident of Anchorage, where he's a real estate broker. He graduated from the university in 1939 with a Bachelor of Science degree, and after graduation, he was superintendent of gold recovery for the U.S. Smelting in Fairbanks, and he represented this area in the Alaska Territorial Legislature in the 1943 session. After moving to Anchorage, he served as president and treasurer of the Anchorage School Board during a 5-year term. He is presently a member of the Advisory Committee of the University of Alaska, Anchorage Branch, and is president of the Board of Directors of the University Alumni Association. John O'Shea.
Thank you, Les. Dr. and Mrs. Wood, distinguished guests, friends, and fellow alumni. Les forgot to mention that I was a printer's devil on the staff of the Fairbanks News Miner under W.F. Wrong Font Thompson. It is always a pleasure to visit here in my old home city, and I am very grateful to the Fairbanks Chamber for the kind invitation to attend this very fine event. And I want to compliment Dr. Wood right here for the fine production of students represented by Jim Dantine, rhymes with Pepsodent. Many here tonight can remember with me the earliest years of the university as the Alaska Agricultural College and School of Mines. People wondered for years if the institution would ever be more than a cornerstone. And it was with quite a thrill that as a boy, I rode my bike out to College Hill to see the first section of the old building completed. Little did I realize that a beautiful and functional institution would evolve from such a beginning in less than half a century. It is a tribute to the dedicated people who have contributed so much toward that accomplishment. Members of the Congress, our governors, legislators, administrators, faculty, students, alumni, and the public at large. However, the leadership fell to the presidents of the university, and we have been fortunate in having such men as Dr. Charles Bunnell as first president, followed by Dr. Terrace Moore, Dr. Ernest Paddock, and then Dr. William Witt. The University of Alaska is an extension of their lives. To President Witt, who assumed the presidency in 1960, came the thrust of the space age and the impetus of statehood to make his tenure of office one of great challenge. His response has been outstanding. The high standards he has set in advancing the objectives of the university are everywhere manifest on the great campus that stretches from the Arctic ice packs to Ketchikan, and which has its base here at college. On behalf of alumni everywhere, in recognition of more than a decade of dedicated service to the university, Dr. Wood, we salute you and your gracious lady assistant. And thank you both for a job well done, and with a wish that you will keep up the good work. Thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you, John. As long as John took me to task for not mentioning some duty that he'd had previously here in his early life, I might as well mention that his old buddy John Butkovich told me how John was such a star basketball player on the Fairbanks High School in the early days that even after he graduated, they induced his teammates induced him to take a postgraduate course so he could play on the team. They didn't have the rules of eligibility in those days, apparently, that they do now. At any rate, in addition to playing on the team, he also had a job of doing janitor work at night in the old schoolhouse. And apparently this worked out pretty well, except on those evenings when he and his teammates went out for an evening of revelry and ended up at the Model Cafe along about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and he, Tom Sawyer, the whole bunch to come up to the school and help him with his janitor work. And the citizens of Fairbanks started objecting for the lights burning brightly in the schoolhouse all night long. In those days, we paid 25 cents a kilowatt for lights here in Fairbanks. I have another telegram here that I'm going to read. This is from U.S. Senator Ted Stevens. Please express Ann's and my regrets for not being able to join you in tonight's tribute to Dr. and Mrs. William Wood. My first Alaskan home was in Fairbanks, and it is gratifying to me now to see the Fairbanks business community take this means of saying thanks to two people who are such a vital part of the civic, cultural, academic, and business life in Fairbanks and in the state of Alaska. The University of Alaska, under Dr. Wood's leadership, has distinguished itself in many fields. One example of that distinguished leadership is the Arctic research work that is being conducted through the scientific complex that was created and continues to grow in the university's West Ridge area. The continued growth of the university's physical plant, its academic programs, and its student enrollment statewide are other examples of perceptive and persistent leadership by Dr. Wood. Signed, with congratulations, Ted Stevens, U.S. Senator. In line with something that he said in his wire, I'd also like to read this message. We want to add our congratulations to the many you will receive and so richly deserve. It is a privilege to know two people so devoted to the university and each other. It is personally a warm and treasured feeling to know you both as friends. John Schindler and staff, Navy Arctic Research Laboratory. Somehow or other, when I think of the Arctic Research Laboratory in Barrow, I always think of the environment, and perhaps more so now that Max Brewer has gone to Juneau to be concerned with things of that nature in the state. Just happened to remind me of a story that I think I must tell you about the woman who had a husband that was very sick in the hospital. And she thought she'd stop at a fruit stand and buy him some fruit. Saw some grapes that looked pretty nice, and so she asked the fruit stand attendant if there was any arsenic on the grapes. And he said, "No, madam," he said, "you're gonna have to put that on yourself." Ought to get 50 cents back. I can think of no one more fitting to represent the people of this area on this program than Frank Chapados. He's a lifelong Alaskan, born and attended school in Juneau, and worked as a miner in Southeastern prior to coming to Fairbanks in 1939. Here he worked again as a miner, attended the university, and served as U.S. Deputy Marshal at Fairbanks until he joined the Navy and served in the South Pacific until 1946. After the war, he returned to Fairbanks and in 1951 was appointed U.S. Marshal for the 4th Division. He resigned that position in 1953 to go into the public warehouse business, of which he is still president and general manager. He represented this area for 4 years in the Alaska State Legislature. He is past president of Igloo No. 4, Pioneers of Alaska, a former member of the State Board of Education, and currently on the Governor's Advisory Council on Vocational Education, and is a director of the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce. He and his wife, Leona, have 4 children attending schools in Fairbanks. Frank has been very active in civic affairs. He is highly regarded as a man of comparatively few words, but when he talks, people listen. Frank Chapman.
Mr. Toastmaster, Dr. and Mrs. Wood, other distinguished guests, and fellow Alaskans and fellow Fairbanksans, I deem it an honor and a privilege to speak for the Fairbanks community on this occasion, when we gather together to honor a truly distinguished member of our community. Dr. William Ransom Wood, better known to most of us as Bill, has been a member of the Fairbanks community for the past 11 years, and during that brief span of time, has made a major contribution to the growth and development of our community, while at the same time furnishing the inspiration and leadership for the furtherance of higher education throughout Alaska. But it is to his efforts on behalf of the Fairbanks community that I wish to address myself this evening. Time does not permit a detailed account of his many activities on the local scene, but I do wish to review with you a few of the areas in which he has made a valued and significant contribution. Bill Wood, throughout his long and distinguished career, has retained an abiding faith and an active interest in the youth of our nation, and one aspect of this interest has been his association with the Midnight Sun Council of the Boy Scouts of America. He has been a member of the Council's executive board since 1960, and in typical Bill Wood fashion, he did not just lend his name to the organization, but has been a vigorous exponent of the scouting in all its phases and an active participant in the programs of the Council. His involvement and his accomplishments as a member of the Midnight Sun Council serve as an example of community service at its best. Continuing an interest in national defense, first generated when he served with distinction in the United States Navy during World War II, Bill Wood was instrumental in the organization of a local chapter of the Navy League and served as its first president. Bill Wood has been an active member of the Fairbanks Rotary Club during all the years that he has been in Fairbanks. And with all of his other activities, as with all of his other activities, he has not been content to just be a member of that club, but throughout his years of membership, he has demonstrated an awareness and understanding of community service through the precepts of Rotary that has been a continuing inspiration to his fellow Rotarians. As a resident of the Fairbanks community during the early 1960s, Bill Wood was keenly aware of the growing pains that beset our city and the need for effective, constructive action to meet the needs that were becoming more and more apparent. One of those needs was brought sharply into focus in 1965 when the Sisters of Charity first announced that they would be unable to continue operation of St. Joseph's Hospital without additional financial support. After serious attempts by the Fairbanks North Star Borough to fund a new hospital had failed, the situation became critical after the 1967 flood when it was announced that the hospital would be closed in July 1, 1968. The need was acute. The time for action was at hand, and aroused community, though individually hard-pressed to recover from the effects of an all-encompassing flood, banded together and announced its determination to build a new community hospital through voluntary contributions. The task was at hand, the goal had been set, all that remained was the necessary leadership to make the dream a reality. The community's choice was unanimous, and Bill Wood was asked to assume the presidency of the Greater Fairbanks Community Hospital Foundation and undertake the task of raising the necessary funds to construct a new community hospital. The success of this monumental undertaking is well known to all of us here tonight. Bill Wood's consistent, inspirational leadership provided the driving force necessary to weld the community together in a united effort that saw the initial drive for funds reach its goal twice over. With community participation thus assured, Bill Wood led the foundation through the critical phases of securing additional funding through state and federal participation and the planning and construction of the modern 118-bed hospital that will be dedicated to the Fairbanks community in February 1972. These are but the highlights of Bill Wood's contribution to our community over the past 11 years. In countless other ways, his presence has been felt and his involvement recorded. Bill Wood is a totally dedicated public servant. His strength of character, his sense of purpose, his dedication to the affairs of humankind, his dedication to the community in which he lives, these are the attributes of the man we honor here tonight. Thank you, Bill Wood, for a job well done.
Thank you, Frank. In addition to a student and a congratulatory message from the faculty, we also have a congratulatory message from another university president, one who has recently left our campus and gone to become president of one of the branches of the University of Maine. It reads as follows. How right it is for Fairbanks to honor President Wood. Fran and I so wish we could be with you. Please give Bill and Dorothy, Jane, our heartiest congratulations. Art Buswell. There could have been no finer choice for our main speaker this evening than Elmer E. Rasmussen. For as a member and president of the Board of Regents, he early realized the need for sound planning for the university and worked hand in hand with Dr. Wood, as well as with previous presidents, in carrying out those policies which have resulted in the present academic structure of the university. As a result of his guidance, the campus of the university is recognized as one of the outstanding, if not the outstanding, university campus where construction planning has been done early enough in its life to prevent building atrocities and unwise use of space. This has resulted in the present maximum utilization and for development in the future. Elmer's biography reads like a large section of Who's Who in America, which in fact it is. He was born in Yakutat, Alaska in 1909, attended public schools in Alaska, the University of Grenoble in France, and received a Bachelor of Science degree, magna cum laude, at Harvard in 1930, and his master's at the same university in 1935. He is a CPA and was a principal in Arthur Anderson and Company in New York City until 1943, when he returned to Alaska to assume the presidency of the National Bank of Alaska. Since 1966, he has been chairman of the board of that institution, which under his direction has become the largest in our state. The committees he has worked on, the organizations he has been associated with, are far too numerous to mention this evening. Let it suffice to say, they cover a wide scope in city, state, national, and international service, and include the fields of social, business, military, academic, intellectual, science, and politics. And I undoubtedly omitted others. He is married to the former Mary Louise Milligan, who was a current in the Women's Army Corps, and who in fact is unable to be with us this evening because she still has military responsibilities which require her presence at this time in Washington. Some might say, how is it that a man from Anchorage would do so much for a university located in Fairbanks? The answer is, first, Elmer believes, as should we all, that anything that is good for one part of Alaska is good for the entire state. And secondly, there is no halfway with Elmer Rasmussen. Anything he does exceedingly well, and it would have been impossible for him to have done anything less for the University of Alaska. I am pleased to present our main speaker, the man who has worked closest to our evening's guest of honor, Elmer E. Rasmussen.
You notice, Les, that I bring my own glass because I go into theory the water doesn't hurt any man. MC Leslie and Dr. and Mrs. Wood and all friends here of Bill and Mary Jane. It's a real pleasure to be part of this evening's program to honor Dorothy Jane and Bill. And I really want to tell you from my heart, thanks for inviting me. See, sometimes I think that old regents are just like old census takers. They never die, they just don't count anymore. Now, I listened to give Mary Louise's apology that she can't be here this evening, but she left Friday for a couple of defense and army conferences where she is an official representative from Alaska. And on the night of her departure, the paper had a headline, Mrs. Rasmussen goes to Washington. Well, that's more than her husband could do. I first met our two distinguished guests in, I think it was 1959, when we interviewed Bill Wood as a prospective candidate for the presidency of the university. Now, choosing the president of a university is the hardest task that I know. And it's not that it's a problem of getting men with the desired qualifications of academic achievement or administrative experience. We had some very good candidates. We really did, Bill. But the difficulty lies in the non-academic criteria. And it's because a president of a university is a public figure, and therefore he just lives in a goldfish bowl. His character and his integrity must, of course, just like Caesar's wife, be without reproach. He must have very broad shoulders. And that's to bear the twin burdens of the blame of everybody else, particularly their misdeeds, and, of course, take care of his beloved university. It is desirable that he have the figure of command and the voice of leadership. And it's a plus if he's attractive to ladies, particularly if they're prospective donors. It's essential that he have the patience of a saint, and extremely helpful if he can develop the hide of a rhinoceros. But the most trying and exasperating part of being the president of the university is the fact that he's got so many bosses, and they don't necessarily give him the same orders. I think that a president of a university deals with more prima donnas than the conductor of the Metropolitan Opera Company. I think that a university president must have the agility of a circus bareback rider. He's got to be able to ride the horse of fiscal economy whenever he's within earshot of the legislators. But as soon as he gets before the Chamber of Commerce and the labor leaders, he must flip his saddle over and, with a proper display of silver trappings, prove his dedication to high spending in construction and new programs. At the same time, he must be prepared to tame any of the academic steeds that the faculty might trot out of the corral, usually on a surprise basis. He must satisfy the students. They have complete freedom, and convince their parents they do not. He must placate the alumni in sports and in other university achievements, and of course inspire them without becoming too annoying in fundraising. He must, of course, be an accomplished fundraiser, but preferably outside of the state. And of course, he must at all times satisfy his changing top bosses, the Board of Regents, and develop their confidence to approve his recommendations, at the same time make them feel that they're not yielding any of their pride or authority. And finally, the university president must be foremost in all kinds of community leadership, whether it's on a local or statewide basis, but have good enough footwork so he never gets entrapped in any lost causes nor embroiled in sectional differences. Well, Bill Wood seemed to measure up to our ideal candidate. Furthermore, he represented the type of leadership that we felt that the university particularly needed at that time. There was a strong feeling that the academic side of the university needed a champion, and Dr. Wood had the required background and experience as both a humanist and a scholar. And that fit in with the concept that all of us felt that the university, though small, should aspire to excellence. And like other universities at the beginning of the 60s, we recognized both our opportunities and our obligations to develop the fields of research. At the same time, we also appreciated the great educational responsibilities that the university had throughout the state. In other words, the entire state must be our campus. And so therefore, we must continue a program of continuing education on an adult basis throughout our state. Well, Dr. Wood at that time was vice president of the University of Nevada. And interestingly enough, that university has a great deal of similarity to our own. It has a sparse population, but it was very active in research, and it had developed a statewide system of community colleges. Well, we all liked Bill and Dorothy Jane. And he was the faculty's choice also, and of course that counted for a lot. But what probably tipped the scales was when we heard that he had been crawling around in the utilidors for firsthand investigation when he was on the campus. And we thought that a man that got down to earth that way must have the makings of a true Alaskan. So Dr. Wood became the fourth president of the University of Alaska on July 1, 1960. And so you might ask here now, what have been the achievements of that administration? Well, of course, the best way is to go out on the campus and take a look yourself, because I think here is a good example of that old saying that a look is worth a thousand words. But then you'll say, the campus is the entire state. And our interest and the concern of the university is literally from the depths of the ocean right up to research stations in the top of our mountains. So I'm going to try a few figures on for size. During Dr. Wood's administration, the value of the physical plant has increased from about $8.2 million to about $60 million, with an additional $30 million under construction. Gee, you are a spender, aren't you, Bill? What has been added are dormitories, classrooms, gymnasium, research facilities, the library, humanities and fine arts complex, and community colleges throughout the state. At the same time, the operating budget has increased from $5 million to over $40 million. And about half of this is contributed by the state, and the remainder comes from outside sources, principally grants. University, incidentally, is one of the largest employers in the state, with a $2.5 million monthly payroll that goes to 1,600 employees. At the same time, the faculty has expanded in numbers, and I think we all feel has reached new heights in excellence. The research institutes have developed national and international reputations. Here are some of the new programs: the fine arts program, new departments in political science, sociology, philosophy, psychology, the muskox program, the Institute of Marine Science and Oceanography, Alaska Rural School Project, the Institute of Social, Economic, and Government Research, Institute of Water Resources, Institute of Arctic Biology, were all started or expanded during Dr. Wood's tenure. And of course, our famed Geophysical Institute has not only acquired a new home, but a greater and expanded program. The community colleges have gained their own facilities now, or they're under construction, at Ketchikan, Juneau, Anchorage, Kenai, and Kodiak, with shared facilities at Sitka and Palmer. Under Dr. Wood's administration, the University of Alaska's enrollment percentage increase, this is interesting, is the highest rate throughout the country. We expect that it is going to be nearly 38,000 in 1980. In some way, there's going to be that many people that are going to be involved in instructional programs in our state. Currently, our enrollment at college is over 2,900 students, with about 8,000 students around the rest of the states. And even now, if you count the non-credit courses that we're giving throughout the state, the number that the university is influenced today in some direct contact in university work is 23,000. Well, now I've done with that, so I'm going to stop talking about Dr. Wood, and now I'm going to talk about Bill Wood, who's a personal friend of mine and yours, an all-around great guy. Bill Wood is a dreamer of bold ideas, and yet he's an activist who gets them done. He's a very, very kindly man, and he has gentle thoughts. I've never heard him speak meanly of anyone. When he's upset about a person or about an event, his only outward sign that I've ever noticed is to draw in his breath through clenched teeth. Yet in a proper cause, he has the determination that literally moves mountains. Now, Bill follows a personal regimen that scares us all, especially in view of the big investment we've got in him. In 1964, the first Equinox Marathon, that's a 26-mile jaunt, as you know, up Esther Dolmenbach, was started. Well, it looked like a great sport. So the second year, President Bill decided to give it a try, and he joined the joggers. He conked out at the top of the hill and crept back to the campus at a slow pace, and turning in his number, 595, he remarked that it was a very appropriate one because it represented the number of new muscles he had discovered that day. Well, the following year, he ran and he finished. He didn't explain the comeback, but apparently in that short year, he had developed many more muscles. His number tag read 1119. Now, if I were to read the list of professional appointments that he has been involved in, either as a member or a consultant, why, it'd take the rest of this evening. You know, he's never without a job. For example, as you all know, he's going to leave in a few days here for a month-long assignment in South Vietnam to assist that nation upgrade its institutions of higher learning. Now, Bill has undertaken many such assignments in the past, the first of which took him to Libya in 1955 under State Department sponsorship. And since then, under similar assignments from private foundations and the University Presidents Association, he's traveled throughout the Orient. Now, I've walked the legislative halls many times with Bill Wood while the Ways and Means Committee was giving birth to the budget. And I was always impressed with his sense of good humor under stress. Never an innovator just for the cause of change, Bill has always initiated and supported forward-looking programs. When a petition was presented to make the ROTC a voluntary program, Bill recognized the changing times and supported the revision. And when it became apparent that a sharing of the burden of the administrative decision-making was the wave of the future, President Wood wholeheartedly embraced the concept of the university assembly. And I think what a sincere tribute it is that a petition by the student body came to the Board of Regents to name the new Students Activity Center after President William R. Wood. How many of you know that Dr. Wood's official appointment at the University of Alaska is both as a president and professor of English? Now, that's not just to fill two jobs for the price of one. Rather, it recognizes Dr. Wood's preeminence as a scholar and his continuing desire to teach, and he still does it. He's received national appreciation and has served on such prestigious boards as the New York Commission of Long-Range Planning for the State University of New York. Now, I've already alluded to his international stature. He's considered an expert in that field. But I'd like to note that Dr. Wood was recently awarded the Order of Grand